how to decide well. Today, in our series on the Holy Spirit, we look at the question, how can I be led by the Spirit? And we're going to look at six guidelines, but only three today and three next week. Talking about the choice explosion. If you visit Starbucks, I prefer second cup, but if you enjoy Starbucks, you have a lot of options. You might start by ordering a tall, non-fat latte with caramel drizzle, or you might want a grande iced sugar-free vanilla latte with soy milk, or you might ask for a decaf soy latte with an extra shot and cream, or you might ask for a non-fat frappuccino with extra whipped cream and a chocolate sauce. But don't forget the venti, iced, skinny hazelnut macchiato. Did I say that right? I don't think so. Sugar-free syrup, extra shot, light ice, no whip. And according to the manager of Starbucks company, there is a combination of 80,000 combinations of drinks at Starbucks, and that doesn't include the food that they offer as well. And here's the thing, what's true about Starbucks and countless other varieties of just about every commodity in the market, it's a symbol of what's happening in our own lives in almost every aspect. There's a choice explosion. Now, if we were born in the Middle Ages and our father was a farmer, chances are we would end up being a farmer because we had little or no choice. And even today, if you're living in a rural part of Mozambique, the second poorest country in the entire world, chances are you'd have little, if any, chance of doing anything else other than scrounging for food and water for that day and perhaps a few other days. So many options today in our culture, so many possibilities, a myriad of choices, and no wonder that some of us are in our 30s before we really find our niche. Well, the good news is that God does have a plan for your life, and that you were born for a reason. And as you follow him, Christ can dwell in your heart, and he dwells there to guide us through our life. Listen to some of the promises in the Bible about God giving us a path for our life. In Romans 8:14, it says, "For those who were led by the Spirit are the children of God." And then in Psalm 48, verse 14, it says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." And the psalmist says in Psalm 3, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." These are promises directed to you and me. And then Psalm 25 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths." And Psalm 73 says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory." What a promise. And the one I like the most, the one I've experienced because I've had so many surprises in my life about God's will, is this, Isaiah 42, verse 16. "I will lead the blind by ways they did not know. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth." And along with those promises, there's so many examples. The Bible is replete with examples of how God guides people through the Holy Spirit. Well, you say, that's all well and nice, Pastor Henry, but how can I find God's will in my life? Well, I have to respond truthfully and say there are no easy answers to hard questions. That's just honesty. But as I mentioned before, I want to give you at least six guidelines that will help you discover God's will for your life. The three that we're looking today are more in the realm of, or they seem in the realm of natural things, and next week we'll lean towards the supernatural guidance. But the truth is, they're a false dichotomy, because God uses us through natural things and also the supernatural. Let's begin with the obvious, or so it should be. Let's say, call it divine guidance through the Bible. And I suggest that at least 90% of God's will for your life is already there in black and white in the Bible, in between the covers of the Holy Bible. Now, this is the general will for all people, but also applies to us specifically. Where you say, how can the book be an instrument of our being led by the Spirit? And the answer is, it's a Spirit-inspired book. Listen to what the Bible says about itself. All Scripture is inspired by God. Literally, all Scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." It's a spiritual book, and it gives spiritual guidance. And then Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Bible says in Psalm 27, "Teach me your way, O Lord, lead me through straight paths." And Psalm 32 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." What wonderful promises God speaks into your personal life. Well, I heard the story. It's not a true one, but I hope it's a good one. About a doctor, a lawyer, and a pastor who went hunting. And they were out in the woods, and suddenly they saw a large deer, a white-tailed buck. And they all raised their gun, and simultaneously they shot, and the deer fell down. And they went out to see the deer, and it was shot right in the head. And they wondered who shot the deer. And they were perplexed until the game warden came along. And instantly, when he was asked, he said, "The preacher killed the deer." How do you know that? He says, "It's obvious. The bullet went right in one ear and out the other." And you know, when a preacher speaks the word of God, sometimes that's exactly what happens. And sometimes that's what happens when we read the Bible. The message goes in one out ear and out the other, and we never apply it to our life. And so in many ways, God reveals his personal will for your life and mine, at least 90% or plus, by what's already in print. For example, take a church-going young man and woman. They believe they're Christians. They believe that they're following the Lord with all their heart. Perhaps they don't know any better, but they're living together, and they see nothing wrong with that. And the pastor challenges them, not harshly, but lovingly, with compassion, because he wants the best for their lives. And he points them to the scripture where it says that this is wrong. He points to the Ten Commandment, adultery. Now, many of you don't know that premarital sex comes under that umbrella. And he points to a number of passages that are translated rightly today, sexual immorality, but used to be translated fornication, which was more specific in saying it was about premarital sex. And they say, "Well, this isn't against the law. I'm not hurting anybody. We're not hurting anybody. And it's socially acceptable. And it's become the new normal. And the pastor compassionately challenges the gem. And they say, well, we'll pray about it. We'll pray about it. Friends, there's nothing to pray about. Because God's word already reveals the truth. Or suppose you're a businessman and you want to start up a new business. And it's one where you will rake in lots of money, but on the backs of others who will work tirelessly and hard and receive almost little. It could be outright exploitation, or it could be just unfairness. And you may not admit it to yourself, you may not admit it to God or even realize it, but you're motivated by pure, unadulterated greed. And capitalism is driven by greed. What does the Bible say? What does Jesus say about it? And the scriptures speak about Jesus and says, he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Now that was a little too convicting for us. But let me give you another example. A young man falls in love with a woman, and like a force of gravity, he's irresistibly drawn to her, and she loves him back. The problem is he is a Christian, and he deeply loves the Lord, but she's not a Christian. And they say when they're counseled, oh, we'll just pray about that. In truth, there's nothing really to pray about, because the scripture is clear, saying, in the context of marriage, do not be unequally yoked. And then it goes on to say, for what fellowship has light to do with darkness? There's a hard word, but there's the word from Scripture. And it may hurt. And I'm sorry it might hurt. I'm not sure who I'm speaking to, but if it does, it's a word that hurts, but hopefully will heal, because God has a better plan for you, whether you believe it now or not. May God's motto that he gave to St. Paul be yours also. I strive, he says, always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Acts 24:16. Well, the first thing is divine guidance through the Bible. Add to it this, divine guidance through reason. Most often, God's will is logical. And he's given us brains, and he wants us to use them and weigh up all the options and the pros and cons. And he's given you the gift of wisdom. Sanctified common sense is a good thing. However, as some people have said, common sense ain't so common anymore. Now, of course, there are times and have been times where the Holy Spirit has so led somebody that what they're about to do or what they've done seems against all reason. In that case, if we're sure about it, we need to step out in faith. Many a missionary has been told that their endeavors are going to be futile. And the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, A.B. Simpson, was told by more than one doctor and also some friends, you don't have the health that will help you make it through as a pastor. And indeed, he did suffer from poor health, and then God healed him. So there are times when the Spirit will lead us contrary to what we and others might think as reason. But most often, he uses logic and the reason that we have. And when God leads us in a special way that seems against reason, it's probably fairly rare. God employs the reasoned gifts that he has given to us. The book of Proverbs focuses almost entirely on the theme of wisdom. It's not ordinary wisdom, it's reason. It's reason that's sanctified by the Holy Spirit and leans toward and looks toward and is fulfilled by moral living. The New Testament also differentiates between what it calls the carnal man or natural man. It differs from what the Bible speaks of about the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is when we give our mind to him and we're under the influence of his teaching and his Spirit's moving. Well, part of understanding and part of using reason is figuring out how we are wired, how God made us to be. Am I right-brained or left-brained? Am I a people person or a paper pusher or both? And when we do what we're wired for, we're energized, and when I do what I'm not wired for, I'm completely drained. But mind you, every job has its bedpans. Socrates said, "Know thyself," but the sad thing is many people don't. My wife is here somewhere, but if you, wherever you are, perhaps, she's hiding way, way at the back. Do you remember, June, when we went to the camp, we were leading a camp at Lake Simcoe, a Christian camp, and one day they had a concert, and a special guest was invited. We heard that she was a great singer. We heard that she had performed in many churches. We heard that she sold CDs. We heard that she was supposed to be a professional singer. The one thing missing is we'd never heard her. And she got up to sing before the audience, and I just about dropped my jaw to the floor. Let me put it this way. Compared to her singing, fingernails pulled the wrong way on a chalkboard would have been a great relief. Let's say that when they applauded her at the end, it wasn't so much for her talent, but that she was finished. And I remember saying to somebody, bless her heart, she must have a mother who loved her. There are three kinds of singers, and this applies to every field of life. There are three kinds of singers: those who can't sing, and they know they can't sing. And then there are those who can sing, and they know it, and unless it's prideful, it can be very healthy to know who you are. And then there are singers like this poor soul who can't sing her way out of a paper bag, but she thinks she can. Well, I'm just saying that part of listening to reason that God has given us is learning how we are wired. Well, there's another thing. Divine guidance through the Bible, divine guidance through reason. Add to it this: divine guidance through circumstance. Now, none of these things sound very spiritual or have to do with the leading of the Spirit, but again, we make that false dichotomy. We divide one from the other, but God leads through both ways. There are examples in the Bible where he directed the apostles through circumstances. In Acts chapter 16, there's a case where Paul and his colleague Silas were in Philippi, and they shared the gospel of Jesus to a man and his family, and they were all converted immediately to the Lord. But how did they arrive in that house? How did they find themselves in such a circumstance? In this case, it wasn't through inner spiritual guidance or prompting. That's wonderful, and we'll talk about that next week. It wasn't through dreams or angelic visions, and God does use that. But in this case, it wasn't. It was not through biblical interpretation, a good thing, but it wasn't through that. It was through circumstances, and odd circumstances at that. These two missionaries got in trouble with the authorities because they cast out an evil spirit from a demon-possessed girl. And because of that, her masters were out of money because they relied on her for her fortune-telling and so forth. And so they grabbed St. Paul and Silas and accused them before the civil leaders, saying this: they are teaching the people to do that which is against the Roman customs. And the officials beat them both, cast them in jail. Now, as far as they knew, they might die the next day. But instead of licking their wounds and sobbing and filled with self-pity, they started to pray and actually sing in prison. And then suddenly there was an earthquake. And the jail cracked and there was an opening. And the soldier on guard was about to take his sword and fall upon it. But then St. Paul said, wait a minute, stop. And then he asked, what shall I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He wants to fall on his sword one moment and he's falling before the apostles at another. And he takes them home and they preach the gospel to his house and all of them are saved. And within the hour, they're baptized as Christians. Well, how did they arrive there? God was involved supernaturally in the earthquake, but also they were there naturally through circumstances. And God uses circumstances. Sometimes in our lives, we go through experiences that seem like remarkable coincidences as Christians. You meet up with somebody at Tim Hortons just at the right time in the right place, and you share the gospel with them, and they find the Lord, or something happens in your life, and people will say to you, you know, I think it was the Lord's timing that we met. Coincidences, or are they God instances? And when we are Christians, it's amazing how many coincidences happen. God uses divinely inspired coincidences. Now, someone has said, and it's debatable who it was, some say it was Alexander Graham Bell, some say it was Helen Keller. It's most likely Rodgers and Hammerstein in their movie Sound of Music, when she says, when God closes a door, he opens a window. And sometimes we're praying for this to open, but then another opportunity opens and we're led in a different direction. But not always. Sometimes when God closes a door, he also closes the window, and we're called to break down the door. Certainly, in a jail, in Alabama, in Birmingham, when Martin Luther was placed behind iron bars, the doors wouldn't open. But it's then he wrote that famous letter that changed the world. And it hasn't been fulfilled entirely, his dream, but it changed the world for human rights. And hopefully we won't backtrack on that. God guides us sometimes through circumstance. Well, how does he guide us? three things for today: divine guidance through the Bible, divine guidance through reason, and divine guidance through circumstances. We have three more for next week, so please be sure to return, especially when we talk about the whispering of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Well, I want to leave you with this thought. In November of 2013, something happened that sounds utterly fantastic, but it's true, and you can look it up in the internet. A Boeing 747 Dreamlifter is a modified 747 with a humped back so that it can carry much more cargo than most planes. It weighs 600,000 pounds, and it needs a specially long runway of 9,200 feet. And in November 2013, a wayward dream lifter missed his intended destination of McConnell Air Force, the Air Force Base in Wichita, Kansas. Instead, this jumbo cargo plane landed 9 miles north, the wrong airport, the airport owned by the city of Jabera. Jabera Airport has no control tower, and it had a short runway of only 6,010 feet. And a spokesman at McConnell Air Force Base said this, about that eventually they did land at the right airport. But then he said during the experience, quote, the tower was in contact with the pilot, but then the guy had no clue where he was landing, and the pilot told the McConnell radio tower, quote, apparently we have just landed at Beach Factory Airport. That's only a few miles away. In fact, they'd landed at another airport between Beach Factory and McConnell. Eventually, they sorted the whole thing out and had to unload just about all of the cargo, and they were able, miraculously, to take off and land. But here's the jumbo jet cargo plane landing at the wrong airport and thinking that it was another airport entirely. The question I want to leave you with is this. Do you know where you're headed in your spiritual life? And do you know where you want to land? And remember that God does love you, and He does have a plan for your life. The question is, are you headed in the right direction? Are you seeking His will? And are you finding it? And as I began, the biggest question in life is how to spend it. Bless you. Would you stand for prayer? Lord, help us to know your will, not just for the long-distance future, but for today. And if there is something that we need to change in our life, even if it's painful, give us the courage to surrender to you and to turn away anything that is evil and to follow you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And now we're going to enter into a time of Holy Communion. Whether you're a member or not yet a member, or a visitor from another church, as long as you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have turned your life to Him and you're spiritually reborn, then you are welcome to receive communion today. The only condition is that you believe you are a believer, and that if there's something wrong in your life between you and somebody else, please pass until next Sunday, and before then be reconciled as much as you are able. Let's pray. Lord, help us to focus on you and remember you. Give us a picture of the cross and what it means in our life. Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sin. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And thank you, Lord, for rising from the dead and giving us the gift of eternal life. Amen.